Well, I think that, you know, it helps for you to be relaxed around, you know, lights and stages and things like that. And I think it's a familiar world. So I'm sure that, you know, allows you to sort of gravitate. It's quite a natural place to be.
Mm.
Although I don't think it's a given that you're going to go into you know, the entertainment business.
No,
necessarily. But it's certainly, it's a familiar, you know, world, and I know as many people who have gone into it as haven't, you know, whose families were involved.
I mean, of the people, you know, yourself included, who did tread that path and follow that trail, was music sort of always your passion, or did you ever fancy yourself as a bit of an actor or a TV star? Or
well, I did like the idea of being an actor when I was a kid, but I think, you know, all kids do. You know, the idea of, you know, I'm a star. Look at
yes,
me.
I know the feeling very well.
But I mean, to be honest, music became a real passion when I was 12, 13. I was obsessed, and I think you know when you find, you know, love like that, it does sort of choose you. And you know, I think it's like any, you know, really, really sort of transformative relationship in your life. You know, it comes and taps you on the shoulder. It's not something that you necessarily choose.
Mm.
And I became, you know, really sort of obsessed and spent hours and hours and hours, you know, dedicating myself to trying to, you know, learn music. And you know, that's kind of how it worked out.
I think it's fair to say, though, in reading the bio that came through, when you were growing up, you weren't necessarily enamoured, shall we say, by the music scene that was presented to you. I mean, it says that you found a lot of older artists an easier group to identify with. What sort of things were you listening to whilst you were growing up?
Well, because I grew up in the 80s, and the 80s music, you know, it was like DX7 was king.
Mm.
The DX7 was everywhere. And records, there was a lot of good songs written in the 80s, but I found the sound of it was a bit boring and there wasn't enough guitar. So I was listening to The Kinks and Deep Purple, Ritchie Blackmore, Led Zeppelin and the Sex Pistols, anything with a guitar line that I could follow. So I was a bit weird at school.
Well, I mean, you say that. I mean,
I listen to that old record.
Well, I mean, it's you know, it's cool to do again now, and you know, it says in there as well that listening to You Really Got Me was, you know, it was a song that made you want to pick up guitar and play. So in a way, do we sort of have, you know, Ray and Dave Davis to thank for Cooler Shaker? Is that a...
Don't blame them. I mean, you know, I think that there was a time where you were a bit weird if you listened to older music when you were, you know, if you weren't listening to music of your generation. But I think it's become less so now. Because, you know, you can, everything's there on YouTube and online. So kids do, I've noticed it with my own kids who are 5 and 8, and already they're sort of picking and choosing this really diverse playlist, you know, with everything from, like, you know, really, really horrible house music that I can't stand to, you know, AC/DC and the Beatles. I mean, it's a real mix, so... It's cool.
But I suppose, as with everything, you know, it's good they've got the ability to have that variety nowadays. Like you say, with things like YouTube and Spotify, that they can get involved in that world that they might not have been able to reach out to before.
It's wonderful. They've got all this music and they don't have to pay for it.
Exactly. of all those artists that inspired you that you were reeling off before, did you ever get a chance to meet any of them and to sort of sit down and talk to them and talk music with them?
I had the good fortune of... meeting Dave Gilmour from Pink Floyd, and you know, I mean, it was, the thing is about musicians and or anybody who's really experienced at their job, is that really you've got to work it all out for yourself. You can give advice to a certain extent, but it's the school of hard knocks. You know, you got to go out there and you got to play and play and play and play and fail, You know, I think the only advice I got from Dave Gilmour was, you know, you need a really good drummer. You know, make sure if you're playing rock music, you've got a drummer who's just going to hold it all together.
And look after him.
So, basic stuff, you know.
I love this phrase as well that was in the bio that says that you've got this sort of message of universal truth throughout your music. Was it intentional, do you think, to create music with meaning rather than just sort of throwaway pop songs that you were trying to get to number one?
Well, I think the great thing about pop music is it is sort of slightly disposable, you know, and even if you look at Phil Spector and the Wall of Sound, you know, he was making these kind of huge symphonies, but they're only 3 minutes long, you know, and you know, you have to spend hours stroking your chin listening to it. And so even if you're talking about, you know, like with our one of our big songs from back in the day, Tapva, you know, this is a really deep cosmic message about, you know, the oneness of creation and the simultaneous diversity, you know, that exists. And you know, but it's just a 3-minute pop song. My favorite music has a bit of, you know, depth and meaning to it. I think that, you know, that's the great thing about pop music. It can handle it. It can take the weight.
So fast forward a few years then, grown up a little bit, and then along comes Cooler Shaker. How did the band come about in the first place?
We just played and played and played in our bands at school, and you know, I played with just about anybody, and until it got to a point where I left home. I left home fairly late, you know, 18, 19, and then you know, I managed to get the right musicians around me, and we just stuck at it and didn't give ourselves an alternative. We had a record deal when we were about 20. We were called The K's, and we never released anything. We got dropped after 6 months. I think the head of the label was trying to seduce our manageress at the time, and it didn't work out. So the band
was sacrificed.
So that process took about 2.5 years, which felt like, you know, 25 years. You know, when you're in your early 20s, you know, every year lasts much, much longer than you think. So when we finally got signed, we were about 20, 21, 22, and we got signed to Columbia Records. And our first record did really, really well. It was almost, you know, a shock, really, how quickly it all took off.
This is the thing. I mean, whatever it was that you had, it really seemed to work. Looking at the stats, 5 top 10 singles, a number one album, the fastest selling album since Oasis released Definitely Maybe back in 94, so a good 2 years between. 250,000 copies that sold in a week, which back then, that sort of stat's ridiculous. It's a huge number of albums to sell. Even for somebody that's, you know, it's grown up around the arts and, you know, you've had a chance to take it all in, that still must be a little bit mind-blowing to think back to the success that you had then.
Yeah, but it's not something that you can tangibly appreciate at the time, because you're just playing gigs, and the gigs seem to be getting bigger. Actually, for most bands or artists, you find that, you know, when that success kicks in, that it starts to choke the fun out of it, because all these people start to swarm around you who are making money, and then they put this pressure on. And you have to, when you're young as well, you got it's really difficult to wriggle out of their icy cold hands. But we did some great gigs, and it was an amazing time.
Well, I suppose you sort of, like you say, you almost, the more success you gain, the more you start to lose the real reason that you sort of joined as a band and started creating music, I suppose, don't you?
It depends what kind of band you are. I mean, we were pretty green, pretty innocent, and it doesn't matter how smart you think you are when you're 21. There's a lot to learn, and the sound of our band, we weren't very showbiz, you know. We were really, it was all about pure expression, and yeah, you have to reconcile that with the hamster wheel of the touring and the cycle of promoting albums and everything. But so, you know, we managed to survive until the millennium. It was like this huge solar eclipse that happened at the end of the 90s, 1999, and we played a concert underneath the solar eclipse down in Cornwall, and that was it. It was like, right, let's stop now, have a break.